You're listening to Elitist Bastards.
Elitist Bastards.
Elitist Bastards.
Elitist Bastards.
Elitist Bastards.
To Elitist Bastards.
To Elitist Bastards.
To a couple of jerks. I mean Elitist Bastards.
To Elitist Bastards.
To Elitist Bastards.
Elitist Bastards go to the movies.
Coming to you from the Cinema Lounge, properly this time, of the Carolina Asheville, in South Asheville on Hendersonville Road, I'd like to present to you Ken Hankey and Justin Souther.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, so today is a little bit past the one-year anniversary of this podcast. How excited do you guys feel?
Are you excited?
No.
I'm going to be pleased to read this nice letter from our resident artist. Good day. And there we end my Australian accent. Salutations from the Antipodes. Writing in to wish you well on occasion of an entire year's worth of godless hedonism cum cinematic discussion. That's pretty good. The type of behavior that would get you arrested in some states is here actively encouraged, personified by the elitist bastards themselves. Hankey and Souther exist as a kind of Nero Wolfe and Archie Goodwin, as directed by Wes Anderson. Red Ken Hankey, as he's known to his enemies, sets the standard of high beardedness? Beardiness, to which others aspire. Justin Souther gave up a promising career as a Jason Schwartzman impersonator to become a film critic and make Justin Bieber puns. Okay.
That's true.
I knew that was true. I knew that.
Especially your beardiness.
That's true.
Which is why I shaved mine off.
Wait a minute here. $5 says you don't know who Archie Goodwin and Nero Wolfe are.
I'm not taking that.
I didn't think so. Okay. I'll explain this to you later. Illiterate oaf. Okay, back to the letter. They're raw.
I can quit still. Okay. Bring Marcy back in.
I could harm you still. You can't afford to quit. There you go. I don't have to worry about that threat. Their raw, unedited stream of demonic flapdoodle is filtered through the ears and software of coherer Steve the Crocodile Hunter Schanefelt. You've gained a new name.
Crikey.
Yes. Turning the Derek and Clive-like rantings of Asheville's finest into podcast gold is no mean feat, but the Colonel works around the clock to see justice done. Except when he has the ague. That's another story altogether, but okay. It fills my heart with much pride and only a little embarrassment to make my contribution of deeply disturbing artwork, most of which would be censored by the government if I attempted to display it in Australia. So I look to the sky and thank our Lord Clapton for you bastards and wish you the best of luck for EB Year 2. Yours in sport, Jeremy Dillon.
What do you think about that?
Excellent. Best thing we've ever recorded.
Probably.
Okay.
We should have him write the shows.
We could have scripts and like an outline and stuff.
We could have scripts and an outline. Mm. What we really need is a sound effects library. That's what we really need, badly.
That's where Justin's money went.
That and, you know, I want one of those.
A snow globe?
No, I want one of those things that you tip and it makes a cow noise.
Rosebud.
That thing. Those.
Only if you name it Rosebud.
Fantastic. You guys want to talk about some movies?
No.
All right.
I don't.
I don't either, but we're going to end up having to, so
mm-hmm.
we might as well.
Okay.
What did we see?
I saw Jumping the Broom. I've already forgotten about it since.
Well, tell us what you've forgotten.
It's Bargain Basement Tyler Perry, except less obnoxious, which also makes it less memorable, which is in a lot of ways more offensive, I think, to my sensibilities is.
Well, it has drawbacks. I can see drawbacks. You know,
it's dull.
Tyler Perry things can be kind of dull, too, but I understand
your
point.
At least he makes you pay attention to his
That's true, even if I'm only sitting there bitching about the fact that they don't have musical scores so much as they have somebody sitting off to the side playing chords to try and make you feel like something emotional is happening.
The soundtrack in this is, it's some bad like alt rock, like radio. It's really weird. Like,
well, don't look at me. I didn't see it, so you know.
Yeah, I know you didn't.
I saw something borrowed. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, but you got to see entertaining stuff as well.
Well, yeah.
It's not like the only thing you got to see was something borrowed.
Yeah, but it was,
and that was the only thing you got to write about this week. I don't want to hear this. And I get the Corey Haim movie this week.
We'll discuss that when we
get
to that.
I know, but I'm just saying. I don't want to hear
about it. Because I think that's an event.
So jumping the broom. Do you care what to tell us what the plot is? Does it matter?
These people get married. Their families don't like each other, and there's secrets.
There's a secret.
There's, I think, more than one. I don't.
Oh,
remember.
More than one.
There's
secret.
One big one. But
he's actually marrying his sister.
No.
Oh, that would be worth it.
I'm not gonna spoil it for anybody who wants
it.
To go watch.
All right. Well, I'm not gonna go watch. You can tell me later.
Okay. I'm sure you're. On the edge of your seat.
I actually am, but that's because
not
that's the way
for different reasons.
Yes, that's because it tends to be the way I sit when we do these things. Except normally I'm standing up when we do these things, but there are people, loosely termed, who have usurped our spot.
Ken's leaning post.
This is true. You know, I often wonder whether the platter on the number 8 projector at the Carmike is warped by now. From me leaning against
it's
it.
Possible.
It is, which is actually
Ken's
sort of
big on leaning.
I am. I like leaning. Yeah, I'm a champion leaner. Few people know that.
So what about something borrowed? Tell me about that.
It sucks.
Next.
Now, this is an incredibly unpleasant movie filled with incredibly unpleasant
people.
Unpleasant
in what way? Like root canal?
Yes, it's very similar. Very.
Chinese water torture? The thing where they stick the bamboo shoots up
maybe
your fingernails.
Maybe not the bamboo shoots, except for possibly any time Kate Hudson opens her mouth, which she does with alarming frequency in this film. Why is this woman still in movies? I don't understand it. She apparently...
What else is she going to do? If she doesn't do movies, she's just going to collect unemployment.
Well, that's
fine.
She can live off her mother, for God's sake. I'm sure Mom has money.
I mean, she wants to support her.
All right, then let her live off welfare. That's good, too.
Okay.
She hasn't been in a good movie in like 11 years, for God's sake.
Is she in Four Feathers? Was that any good?
It's okay, but she's barely in it.
Well,
so,
don't exaggerate, Ken.
I mean,
she
is,
was in it, still.
Yes, she didn't offend
me in it.
She
hasn't starred in a good movie.
Yes, that is definitely true. You know, I'm waiting for her to do... You know, she's going to go the Brittany Murphy route soon. She's going to do the...
Die?
No. She's going to end up doing a picture involving a small child and a pet pig.
Well,
mark my words. I don't even remember what that was called, but I know I sat through it. And it was grim.
So it sounds like it was still more entertaining than Something Borrowed.
What? The thing with the pet pig?
Yes,
it was, as a matter of fact. This is an unpleasant movie about unpleasant people, except for one person who's absolutely detestable, and that's the Kate Hudson character. She's a little flippity-gibbet, airhead, self-centered creep who is marrying this guy that her best friend is really in love with, and she's obnoxious and rude, and so this guy takes best friend Jennifer Goodwin home after her birthday party that Kate Hudson is still hanging around being obnoxious and rude. And, of course, they fall in the sack together and wake up the next morning.
Into a sack?
Into a sack, yes. And they wake up the next morning horrified to find each other in the same bed. But then they find out that they really love each other. So this could be resolved in one messy scene. No, we drag it out for another 90 minutes. And it ends exactly like you think it's going to. I have saved you a lot of time, some money, and a serious amount of pain.
John Krasinski in the film? Is Steve any good?
Yeah, he's okay. John Krasinski plays the closest thing to a likable character. And even him you want to slap by the end of the movie. He's the poor slob who's been in love with Jennifer, what's-her-name, the entire time. And nobody even notices this, at least the audience might, but nobody in the cast recognizes this until he comes clean with it. Oh, somewhere around the 95-minute mark. Whereupon, it changes nothing. She still dumps him and goes for this soap opera actor that... It's bad. It's just bad.
That brings us to Everything Must Go? Or do you want to hold off on that one?
We can do Everything Must Go, which is a... Everything Must Go is a...
Which opens Friday.
It opens Friday. It's not actually out yet. But sometimes we have ways of seeing these things before they're actually out yet, and this is one of those times. And in this case, this is Will Ferrell in an adaptation of a Raymond Carver short story. What's it called? Why Don't You Dance?
Yes.
Okay. It's considerably expanded. The short story is like 1,600 words long, so it, you know, it basically doesn't do much more than take the tone and the premise. And it stars Will Ferrell in one of his rare serious performances. There were comedic things in the film, but it's not a comedy in any real sense of the word, except that, you know, nobody ends up marrying their mother and killing themselves. I mean, it's not tragedy in that sense. And it's about a guy.
Classical literature reference. Very well done.
Oh, yeah. Well, I, you know, just wanted to make it known that we aren't complete Philistines here.
Justin, did you get that?
I don't know what literature is.
But you're the one with a degree in it.
Doesn't mean anything.
That's true.
To be fair, you're a Raymond Carver fan.
Yeah.
Yeah? I mean, you've read a fair amount of this stuff, if I'm not mistaken. And so you're familiar with the short story?
Yes. When I saw the trailer before they said what it was, I was like, oh, God, I hope this isn't what I think it is.
And now it is what you think it is.
Yeah. But I'm glad it's good. I was worried because it's...
Well, you...
Because I like that story.
The movie's good. I mean, it's not... It's not a great film. It is very much an indie. I mean, there's right. obviously not a lot of money at work here.
Right.
The notorious B.I.G. son is surprisingly good in this film. He's very charming, in fact. Rebecca Hall is good. Laura Dern has a wonderful single scene. And Will Ferrell is... Having seen it in close proximity to Stranger Than Fiction, I'd say he's as good. I don't think the film is as good.
Right.
The film is a lot simpler, too, which also has the advantage of it won't take millions and millions and millions of dollars to make a profit, where I don't know if Stranger Than Fiction has ever gone into profit because it, by the end of its theatrical run, it had just about grossed back its budget.
Right.
That's not good. So hopefully people will get over their Will Ferrell hatreds and actually come see this.
And what's the premise?
The premise is very simple. It's Will Ferrell gets fired from his job and he goes home to find out that his wife has left him, all the locks have been changed, and all his stuff is sitting on the front lawn. He's also an alcoholic, so he addresses this in the only way he knows how, which is to get drunk and decide he's going to just live in the front yard, which his AA sponsor is a cop who gets him a permit for a yard sale, which expires in like 3 days, which will cover him until that time, and he slowly actually does turn it into a yard sale and starts to figure out what to do with his life, kind of. So that's the premise. I recommend it. Both the premise and the movie. I recommend the premise and the movie, yes.
And then we come to the big summer blockbuster thus far.
The Mighty Thor.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. It's good. It's as good as it needs to be. It's no better than it needs to be, really. It's entertaining. It's silly. It doesn't take itself real seriously, which, with a superhero movie, to me, is a good thing. Is it faithful to the comics? As far as I know, it is. Partway through the film, when they put the hat on Loki, I realized I used to read these comics when I was quite small. But until that point, I was kind of like, yeah, I've seen covers. So, I was happy enough with it. I didn't mind watching it. It was entertaining, partly funny, has a really kick-ass giant robot, which I think probably appealed to me in some way because when I was about 9-10 years old, I stop frame animated a G.I. Joe covered in tinfoil as a giant robot. And this is what mine would have looked like and done if I had had something better than a G.I. Joe covered in tinfoil. So I guess that probably appealed to me. See, you can't appeal to the inner 10-year-old in me. And later on, we'll slap the crap out of him. But that's another story altogether. It's the guy playing Thor. I find he looks a little distractingly like Brad Pitt. But he's really pleasant. He's a nice, pleasant personality. Everybody in the film is just fine. I mean, it's never going to be a great movie, and it's obviously a setup to go to another movie. But it was enjoyable while it was on screen. I will have forgotten it by the time the next superhero movie comes out. But for now, it's fine. Yes.
Savage Messiah.
Savage Messiah, the Ken Russell film from 1972, starring Scott Antony.
Do you like Ken Russell? Do you like his films?
As a rule, yes. I think we could safely say that.
Are you a fan?
Yes. I am that rare.
In case people are not...
Well, there might be two or three people still living that don't know this. But I am that rarest of things. I am the fan who has become a friend who is still a fan.
Right.
That usually, I tend to find that people usually, the allure wears off when you get to know somebody as a rule, right. And that has definitely not happened in this case. So yes, I'm a fan.
I know this, but I just want to make sure everyone else.
Yes.
What the dickens is Savage Messiah about?
It's about a savage messiah. No, it's a biopic with sort of allegorical overtones about the French vorticist sculptor Henri Gaudier, who took up with a lonely Polish woman named Sophie Breszka. And in fact, they combined their names, so you'll sometimes see him listed as Henri Gaudier Breszka. And this happened just before World War I. She was considerably older than him by like about 20 years. And this is their story. And it's kind of a love story. And it's kind of an allegory for art in the period that the film was made. And it's kind of a statement on what Ken Russell thinks art is and should be. And he made this film with his own money. He took a second mortgage out on his house in order to make this film. And probably lost most of it because it had no promotion and it had no real stars. At the time, nobody knew who Helen Mirren was, and she is a supporting player anyway. And nobody had ever heard of Scott Antony. It was his first film. He was a student from the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts. And Dorothy Teuton was known only as a stage actress, really. I mean, she'd been in the 1952 Importance of Being Earnest, which in 1972 isn't really a whole lot of clout. So, you know, it didn't have a lot going for it. MGM didn't push it. It just didn't do that well when it first came out. And it's also been one of the harder Ken Russell films to see. Now, here's the thing about it. You need to come to this movie. Not only is it a splendid film, but look at it this way. You don't have to double mortgage your house to see it. You can come see it for free. When?
Tuesday.
What day?
I don't know what day of the week.
May 17th. It's Tuesday, May 17th.
Okay, it's a Tuesday.
And where?
That's all I know.
And where?
The Cinema Lounge.
That's right.
The Carolina Asheville.
Exactly. And we'll be here.
Yes.
Yes. And you'll see it on the semi-big screen, as it was meant to be seen.
It's bigger than most screens.
It's bigger than any screen I know of that's like in anybody's home or anything.
Well, yeah, you have fancier friends.
Well, we're probably about 8 feet long, 8 feet wide, I'd say, at least. Well, something like that.
Don't exaggerate.
No one's going to buy it anyway, so... And at this point, I don't care.
And that brings us to the upcomers.
The upcomers. We have finally arrived at the upcomers.
Thank God.
Yes, I am so relieved.
I'm watching a Corey Haim movie.
Yes, he is. And
It's the final Corey Haim movie
called Decisions, and it's being released by the people who made it, which means they have managed to con a few...
Two
smaller theater chains into running this thing. Which means, of course,
it's
true locally
Corey
playing.
Haim fans. That's how
yeah, the true Corey Haim fans and the dirty old men that are members of NAMBLA who have been following his career forever can go see this now at the Carmike. Carmike does dearly love to book movies that no one has any interest in seeing. I don't know why.
But well, they can't get the ones that anybody wants.
But
to
it's yours.
I know.
And you asked for it, actually.
Asked for it. I wasn't
you
like.
Kind of did. I told
didn't
you.
Ask
yeah,
for it. You
close
gave
enough.
Me a choice of watching.
Yeah, I gave
it.
You a choice of watching it or not.
Say,
you chose to watch it.
I didn't go through the listings and say, "Hey,
no, but Ken, you chose to watch it." So I'm not the villain.
Technically, I choose all of these to watch. But no, it I'm doesn't. Not. You could have chose to watch it. You could have been nice.
No, I was going to ignore its existence if you weren't going to do it. Anyway, what else is opening?
I don't know. I'm not watching any of them.
What else is opening?
Priest?
Everything Must Go.
You chose to watch Priest, Ken. That's opening this week.
Yeah, I know.
You've
it's probably going to blow goats, too.
Well, but you chose to
Priest,
watch it.
A movie about...
Judas Priest.
Judas Priest, yes.
Rob
no,
Paul
I don't know. It's some sort of... They claim it's a fusion of...
Malgoth and...
Yeah, Malgoth and Westerns, and it's...
Looks dumb.
It looks dumb. It's by the guy who made Legion last year, and which also starred Paul Bettany. So, you know, I wouldn't be looking out for this to be any good. I'm just glad that it's only like 87 minutes long.
And then, of course, there is...
Don't forget you chose it.
I chose it. There's Bridesmaids.
Which, besides how long it is, might not be bad.
Yes, 125 minutes, which
you
is...
You chose to watch it, Ken.
Way long... Yes, I did.
You've
Shut
chosen.
Up.
Just remember that.
I'm not taking you anywhere anymore.
Because you chose not to.
That's right.
And what is Bridesmaids?
Bridesmaids is a raunchy comedy starring Kristen Wiig,
Maya Rudolph,
and it comes from a director mostly known for television work, but it's better television work than many things.
He did two episodes of Bored to Death.
Yes, that thing of which you've spoken highly. And it comes from the Apatow factory, which means it's too long, and it will be very raunchy, and it's basically a getting married, getting prepared to get married comedy involving rivalries between bridesmaids. And so far, it has just astonishingly good reviews, like a 90% approval rating. This cannot last. Priest, on the other hand, has risen from a 6% approval rating to 21. Aren't
what
you
does
sorry?
Decisions have?
Yeah.
Nothing. No reviews. That's what.
That's right.
I might be
no,
the only person to review
you
this
You may be
movie.
The only person to ever review this
Except
movie.
Somebody's too lazy to get me on Rotten Tomatoes.
It has nothing to do with me.
It kind of does.
I can take this up with him.
Him too. Both of you.
And so, this is it. This is the one-year anniversary part. This is it. This is the end of the... The end of the first year. It's exciting.
He's excited.
It's the beginning of the second year, we hope. I hope.
Well, definitely we know it's the beginning. Whether it's going to be a full year, that remains to be seen. But right now, we may as well assume that we're going to be here for another year.
I guess.
You planning on going somewhere?
No.
Okay, well then we're probably going to be here for another year.